And we are studying these days in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We're dealing with the fourth exhortation of the Apostle Paul on how we as Christians should live our lives. And I don't mind repeating these so that you may be able to have them in your heart and life. We ought to walk in the unity of the Spirit. We ought to walk in a new creation. These two are in chapter 4. And in chapter 5, we ought to walk in love. And now we're dealing with the fact we ought to walk in light. This is from verse 8 through verse 14. And his appeal has been, as children of God, who is light, then we ought to walk as children of God in the light. It's a marvelous thing, this position we have in Christ. We've just been dealing with the fact that we are to walk in love because God is love and we are his children. And Christ manifests his love by sacrifice. And then we found in verses 8 to 14 that God is light. And here we are to walk as children of light. This is our position. This is our relationship. We were once in the darkness, but a separation has taken place. We are now children of God who is light. And we're not only in the light, but the light is in us. And remember again that the very character of God, God is light. And I'm the child of one who is God. I don't belong to the night. I belong to the day. So do you if you know the Savior. And the unsaved person doesn't know a thing about light. He's in the darkness. He's walking in darkness. All he knows is darkness. And if he continues as an unsaved person, he will die in the darkness for eternity. As the 49th Psalm says, they shall never see light. But the moment you and I accepted the Savior, there came into our lives a new element, light. Even as Christ is the light of the world. And now our lives should walk, we should I put it this way, we should be in harmony with our transformation. And in verses 9 to 12, we have the evidence of our walking in light. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And we prove what we are by what we do. We prove the holy life of God and the character of God by walking in the light. And everything we do is to be tested by light, not by society, not by what the unsaved man says or what the modern man, unsaved man thinks. It's not his philosophy or whatever he does. He knows nothing about it. He's in the dark. He's a child of the dark. And he knows nothing about this wonderful truth which we have in Christ. And we are to prove not what pleases us, but what pleases the Lord. And hence in verses 11 to 12, we are to have no fellowship with the works of darkness. These are unfruitful, these are passing, and they never stand the light. And we are to so walk before God that our lives are a constant reproof to the unsaved man. Now the purpose of light we find in verses 13 and 14. So allow me to read these two verses. All things are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now the purpose of light is to dispel darkness. Darkness is never dispelled by argument, but by light shining. Truth is imparted by the Spirit to the believer. And as we walk before him, then we shine. And this, of course, reproves the unsaved man. By the way, we have a little case of that in John chapter 8. I have mentioned this before, but I repeat it. The purpose of light is to dispel darkness. And in John chapter 8, where we have the revelation of Jesus Christ as the light of the world, before he brings forth that revelation, we have the incident of a woman being caught in the act of adultery and brought to the Savior. And remember, the Lord shines upon the consciences of these religious Jews, and they couldn't stand it, and they left the presence of Christ. As I say, the purpose of light is to dispel darkness. You come into a room and you push the button, and the light comes on, it's no longer dark. And yet I must say this again, that those who are children of the night, darkness is never dispelled by argument. You can argue with the unsaved all you want to, but it never, never dispels their darkness. The scripture says in the 119th Psalm, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." And the Spirit of God reproves the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. What does he do? He illuminates the mind concerning these three things. So it is here. We are, the purpose of light is to dispel darkness. And by the way, the light shows up that which is not real. Now, for example, if I might put it this way, you can go ahead and clean your front room. I'm talking to you women now for a second. You take your dust cloth and you wipe the top of the piano and the chairs and the table, and everything seems to be in apple pie order. Everything seems to be so clean. And then the sun comes up and shines into that room, and there on the table or on the piano, you see a great deal of dust here and there, which you didn't touch with your dust cloth, although you thought you had touched everything. In other words, the light came along and revealed what was untouched. Light reveals these things. Now, when the light of the gospel shines into men's hearts, it reveals, first of all, that they're sinners and that they need a Savior. It also reveals the fact that God has made provision for them to be taken out of darkness, out of the kingdom of darkness, and has made provision for them to become members of the family of God, the kingdom where love reigns, not where sin rules, but where love reigns and rules. And this is what he wants us to remember. As I say again, truth is only imparted by the Spirit of God. And hence we are exhorted to preach the word, to give out the truth. And as the truth is given out, then light dispels the darkness. May I remind you again of those amazing verses. And I don't mind repeating these verses, which you find in Matthew 11, 25 to 28. "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth," said our Savior, "because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and thou hast revealed them unto babes." Or in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, where the Lord Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12, speaks of the fact that no man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Neither knoweth any man the things of God except the Spirit of God, and he to whom the Spirit of God will reveal them. So you have here this wonderful fact. As we preach the Word of God, then light shines. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, where the apostle writes, "You are the sons of God in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights, holding forth the word of light." The apostle Paul could say to King Agrippa that the Lord had chosen him what for? To open blind eyes, to turn men from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. And what could multiply these various passages? "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And the unsaved are in the dark, and you and I are to give to them the word of God, which will translate them out of this kingdom of darkness into the glorious kingdom of God's dear Son. Indeed, I would say that the unsaved are insensible to light, and they live among the dead. And our job is to call them to awake out of sleep, to encourage him to come to Christ, who is light. Otherwise, they perish in the dark. Oh, my friend, today, I'm talking to you who are Christians. May I lay upon you this burden of so walking before God in love and in light that men will be attracted to the Savior. You have some friends who are not Christians. Has it ever dawned upon you? I wonder if it has ever got a hold of my heart that every unsaved friend of mine, every neighbor of mine is in darkness. And if he does not accept the Savior, he will perish in darkness, and his eternity, he will be forever in the dark. It's a terrible thing to think about, is it not? And that the wrath of God is going to come upon them, not only because of their rejection of Christ, but because of the lives which they have lived. How else can they live? They're in the dark. My friend, don't judge the unsaved. He doesn't know any better. And all the argument that you can give to him is not going to change him. The entrance of the Word of God gives light. And God, having translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, won't you, and I speak to myself in this, can't we be so in fellowship with God, who is love, so in fellowship with God, who is light, that we shall reveal something of the wonderful character of God? You have been left down here, I have been left down here to shine as lights, so that these who were in the darkness might be delivered from their darkness and be brought into the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. And may the Lord bless you today, and may you live in the joy and the blessing of such a Savior.